For the Medical Journal of Australia, I'm Kate Swanell. Welcome to the MJA podcast. This podcast is recorded and produced on the lands of the Djabal and Djerriwarr peoples. I would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of this land, their elders past, present and emerging. Invasive Group A Streptococcal Disease, or IGAS, is an important cause of morbidity and mortality in the Northern Territory, particularly in people who require dialysis. Since 2014, people receiving dialysis during the wet season in the NT have received antibiotic prophylaxis against melioidosis. A group of researchers led by Dr. Joanna Birrell, a public health and general medicine advanced trainee with the NT Centre for Disease Control, took a look at retrospective data and discovered that in patients receiving antibiotics during the wet season, there were no breakthrough cases of IGAS disease, compared with over 1,100 cases in people who did not receive the medication. What are the implications for future prevention of IGAS disease? We invited Dr. Birrell and one of her co-authors, Professor Bart Curry, from the Royal Darwin Hospital and the Menzies School of Health Research, to be our guests today to talk more about it. What's the prevalence of IGAS in the NT, and what population is it hitting the most, and why is the prevalence so high?
So we found an annual age standardised incidence of 34 cases per 100,000 in the NT over the 10-year study period. That's since it became notifiable in the territory in 2011. So this rate is really dramatically higher than what has been reported in other Australian jurisdictions, and has essentially it's remained unchanged over the past decade.
So why is it so high?
As often the case, there's a large combination of factors, and we identified a couple of key populations that have even higher incidence, that being particularly in First Nations Australians and in hemodialysis population. And within that also remote communities have again a higher incidence and areas of socioeconomic deprivation. So it's a disease of inequity, basically.
How does it present?
Group A strep has a number of different ways in which it can manifest. So it can cause sort of what we call sort of more superficial infections like pharyngitis and cellulitis, or it can become what we call invasive, where areas of the body that would usually be sterile become infected, such as most commonly we detect it in the blood, so causing sepsis. So ways in which it can present are with someone with cellulitis, the skin infection, who's systemically unwell, and then it can cause necrotizing fasciitis. So that's on the severe end of the spectrum, and it can also cause a whole range of other manifestations, basically. So it's a pneumonia, endometritis, septic arthritis, osteomyelitis, and abscesses, sort of deep tissue abscesses. And then the group A strep bug can also have sort of post-infectious complications like acute rheumatic fever in children and post-streptococcal glomerulonephritis. But we focused on this study on the invasive group A streptococcal infections.
So why do patients on dialysis get it?
A good question. And I think, again, there's multiple possible reasons, and we don't have a complete understanding of why this group are at such extremely high risk, but I think most likely a combination of high rates of advanced diabetes, peripheral vascular disease, immunocompromise, repeated needling through the skin at each dialysis session, and then commonly social disadvantage and overcrowded sort of living conditions contributing as well.
Right. So the Venn diagram of these two populations is quite crossed.
Exactly.
The thing that intrigued me was, why do dialysis patients in the wet season get prophylactic antibiotics?
So I'm just looking in your paper there, the reference, Kate, that it's worth looking up is reference number 4 there, which is a paper from our renal colleagues, William Magioni. It's a report on our use of cotrimoxazole 3 times a week for dialysis patients during the wet season, and that is being used as a prophylaxis against melioidosis.
Which presumably is at its height in wet season.
Exactly. So that's the whole basis of this. And in that 2018 Kidney International Reports paper, it talks about the evolution of our protocol, which is for using cotrimoxazole in patients on dialysis. And that was because of an original paper published with extremely high rates of melioidosis in dialysis patients. So we then commenced a prophylactic regimen during the exposure season, which is the wet season, and we found that that was very successful. So we basically reported the decrease in rates of melioidosis in dialysis patients who were on this prophylaxis of 3 times a week. So initially, we had a daily prophylaxis of just a tablet a day because yep. these people with renal failure. But we then found that from a point of view of a systematic way of doing it so that we know that people are getting their medication, it made sense for the dialysis nurses to just give the dialysis patients a tablet of cotrimoxazole at the end of each of their dialysis sessions, which is usually 3 times a week.
It's a week.
And so that's been very successful. So various colleagues then thought, well, we know that there's been increasing interest in cotrimoxazole's role in skin disease, which is indeed for treating staphylococcus and streptococcal skin disease in vitiligo. And at therapeutic guidelines, there was a shift to, particularly for rural remote communities, to using cotrimoxazole as even a first-line agent for skin infections, in vitiligo in particular. And along there was a number of other of our colleagues had done work to show that cotrimoxazole is a good drug for Group A streptococcus, despite some of the laboratory work and some of the reporting from some of the laboratories suggesting that Group A strep may not be susceptible to cotrimoxazole. But that was actually a laboratory technical issue in relation to how the assays were being done. So there were a number of papers published from colleagues showing why and how cotrimoxazole is active against Group A strep, like 100% of isolates in some of the studies then. But there is the potential for resistance to emerge, which is another issue down the track. So in summary, we were using cotrimoxazole prophylaxis in our dialysis patients against melioidosis. Mm-hmm. There was emerging use of cotrimoxazole for other reasons, and therefore it was thought, well, why don't we look at those people who had had dialysis? And we were also finding high rates of invasive Group A strep in dialysis patients, exactly as Joe was saying. So therefore, we thought, well, why don't we retrospectively look back at our data and see what's happened during the wet season when we know people are, at least the majority of our dialysis patients, having cotrimoxazole? And that's the basis of Joe's paper.
I'm chatting today with Dr. Joe Birrell from the Northern Territory Centre for Disease Control and Professor Bart Curry from Royal Darwin. Their research on IGAS can be found at the MJA's Wiley online portal. The full link is in the show notes to this podcast. It will also be published on the 31st of October on mja.com.au, where it will be open access. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast feed by searching for Medical Journal of Australia on your favourite podcast platform. You can also find our back catalogue at mja.com.au/podcasts. Back to our chat. So, Joe, tell us about your results and what the implications are.
So within the top-end dialysis population, we found that trimethoprim and sulfamethoxazole antibiotic prophylaxis for melioidosis was associated with a really dramatic reduction in incidence of IGAS disease. So in fact, there were no breakthrough cases of IGAS disease at all recorded in those who were currently prescribed the prophylaxis. Cool. And that was sort of compared. We had a ready-made control group and patients who weren't prescribed it at the time. And in that group in the wet season, they had an incidence of 1,122 cases per 100,000. So compared to zero. So it did appear to have a good coverage. So I think this study highlights a couple of things. I think firstly, that this is a really important issue of ingressive Group A strep in the Northern Territory, still ongoing and still needs to be at the forefront of our minds. And I think the listing of IGAS disease as nationally notifiable condition is a really good first step and allows us to compare more easily across jurisdictions and all work together. I think fundamentally sort of highlights the need for all sectors to work in partnership with remote NT communities and to improve social determinants of skin health. And this issue really warrants major government resourcing. I think we need to sort of tackle this with a similar approach to rheumatic heart disease, where there's kind of primordial prevention, primary prevention and secondary prevention. So there's a potential role for year-round antibiotic prophylaxis in people at the highest risk, like those receiving dialysis in the NT. This might potentially save lives and prevent many hospitalizations and ICU admissions and morbidity. But then, of course, as Bart's alluded to, antibiotic prophylaxis also carries risks of its own, like adverse drug reactions, potential antimicrobial resistance, pill burden, and there's a financial cost to the medication. So I think as we sort of concluded within this article, I think it warrants a prospective trial and also quite a thorough holistic analysis of the pros and cons of the prophylaxis. You know, input from a lot of stakeholders, feedback from the patients, who, particularly those receiving dialysis who are now on the antibiotics during the wet season, and their thoughts on continuing it year round, looking at the financial costs of the disease versus the medication, adverse medication event rates in the melioidosis cohort so far. And then on the other hand, also looking at antimicrobial resistance, how it's changed over time, and then has there been additional benefits in preventing other infections since the things like invasive E. coli and Staphylococcus aureus infections, and could there be other potential benefits to weigh up? So it's a complex issue, but I think this is more of a hypothesis generating study and a good starting point for further intervention.
The obvious solution to the resistance problem is solve the social determinants of health.
Exactly. Really. That needs to be the key focus, definitely. Yeah.
It's important to emphasise that this is data from the territory where we have these very high rates of invasive group A strep in our hemodialysis patients. And what this tells us is the possibility that cotrimoxazole prophylaxis may be beneficial in those other places where invasive group A strep is high in dialysis patients. So we'd be recommending to our colleagues elsewhere in Australia to look at their rates of invasive group A strep in their dialysis patients, because what may apply to us may not necessarily apply, and the risk-benefit analysis may be very different in other circumstances.
What would make that difference?
The difference would be lower rates of invasive group A strep in their dialysis patients. So, and that's why, exactly as Joe said, the primordial and the primary are so important, the primordial being the socioeconomic determinants and other things, and remoteness and disadvantage, and the primary being the fact that we do have very high rates of skin disease in our First Nations population, which is the majority of our dialysis patients. It's that high rate of skin disease which leads to, when people have their dialysis, the potential of introducing the group A strep through the skin. Our rates of impetigo in particular are extremely high still, and that's where the primary prevention, which is treating the skin disease, comes in as well, before we would consider prophylaxis potentially. And just in relation to that, it is worth noting, like, our high rates of IGAS have been known for a long time, because as a plug for the NT and our own CDC, is that we made IGAS notifiable in 2011.
Yeah.
And it was only 10 years later, in 2021, in July, as in the first paragraph of Joe's paper, it was made nationally notifiable. So that means that other public health units in the country can now look at their IGAS in their dialysis patients and see whether their rates are as high as ours are, and therefore whether they would consider this. But Joe mentioned the antimicrobial resistance emerging, and that is a big issue that concerns people, because it is recognised that both staph and strep can develop resistance to cotrimoxazole. But secondly, we also are very aware that when you use a lot of cotrimoxazole, very occasionally you will get severe cutaneous adverse reactions, SCAR, and we have already seen, with our increasing use of cotrimoxazole, severe cutaneous adverse reactions to cotrimoxazole. So we don't use it lightly.
So thank you both. My thanks to my special guests today. Don't forget that all our podcasts are open access and available at www.mja.com.au/podcasts. Or you can subscribe to our feed at iTunes. My name's Kate Swanell, and we'll see you next time.